Acts, the first chapter, verses 7 and 8. Not much to chew off of, but enough to get us full this evening. Pastor told me one time, don't take on too much at one time. You're going to have to eat it all before you sit down. So I want to just focus on Acts 1, verse 7 and 8. I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible, and it reads, he said to them, it's read in my Bible, so that he is Jesus, it is not for you to know the times or days the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Tonight I want to talk about being the witness for Jesus. Being the witness for Jesus. I'm Otis Petaway. I'm the senior pastor of the Victory Community Church. We are in Angleton, Texas, and one of the series that we're going through in our Bible study right now is on evangelism, the power of evangelism, the importance of evangelism, and the failing of evangelism in the world today. There was a time that you could say you were having a revival, and depending on who was preaching, you had a church full of people. You would have people all in the fellowship hall, and you could be in revival and smell chicken cooking in the back, and you could, come on somebody, y'all can get with me in a minute. You had people sitting in the usher's chairs, and people would show up from other churches. We would, you know, depending on who the revivalist is, churches in the community would cancel day service that night to come and fellowship with you. You'd have guest choirs and different stuff going on. But those days are really kind of gone. The days of you saying you have a service and it being packed out just because you haven't, those days are really over. The days of clear separation between the saved and the unsaved, you know. You got people that don't step their foot in the church. They can quote the Bible like the back of their hand. And you got people that come here every week, and you're trying to figure out why they really here. You know, come on, y'all. Y'all can get with me. I've been in church all of my life. I grew up in church. I went to church. I matured in the church. I don't really have the testimony of some guys where, you know, I didn't go out and slang drugs and do all of the stuff. I was a church boy. I was a musician as a kid. So I did all of my sinning in church. You know, my dates, I had to date somebody that went to the church because your mama had to know they people. Come on, y'all. So it was only so much you could do. But today in this time, the evangelism that we have, you just can't throw a service and sinners walk in. That was a time that churches were full on Sunday mornings because it really wasn't nothing else they could do. It was, the mall didn't open until after church. No restaurants was open until after church happened, you know, and you didn't even go to them because you went to eat at somebody's house. You know, there was a time where Bible study, we would need two sides, and it would be people sitting around, and it would be people hungry for the word of God. And those days are kind of... It's a struggle to get people. And the problem that we face is that because we've focused churches on inward, building the inward people that come every week, we've left out a whole second group. And we have this dying out of ministry that people don't have the hunger to get people in the room for anything besides tithes and offerings. You know, we get them in the room. They, you know, we critique them before we train them. It's just like anybody been fishing. Jesus used fishing as an example for evangelists. Anybody go fishing? It's hard to clean the fish before they're in the boat. You get the analogy? And that's what we do with sinners when they come to church with unbelievers. I don't want to say sinners. We all sinners. With unbelievers before they come, we try to get them clean before we catch them. And we try to get them, no, you shouldn't do that. Well, I don't know. How do we? Jesus says, and it's really important because he has, it's his last will and testament. It's the last thing he says before he ascends to heaven. He's leaving his last words to be remembered. Mm-hmm. And it's about going out and getting somebody. It's, mm-hmm. He says, hey, if y'all going to do anything, if you're going to listen to anything I said, mm-hmm. this, I'm going to leave you with this. Mm-hmm. Be my witness. Mm-hmm. Go get somebody. Go, mm-hmm. go leave a legacy of me in the hearts of some people. Duplicate yourself. Church burnout is never what it's designed to do. You're not designed to be burned. That's why the saints used to sing them songs. I've been running for them a long time, and I'm not tired. Yeah. You know, we sing it, but we tired. Yeah. You're singing it, but your feet hurt. You're singing it, but you've been doing it for so long, and nobody seems to come and grab the reins of what you have. And what's the witness that Jesus decides that we need to be in the body? Because it becomes hard to be a witness for Jesus when it's so much other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Right. People see you more intimately than they did before. You know, mm-hmm. you know, where I grew up, when they first started getting colored TVs, you couldn't watch it because those that had it didn't want you to know they had it in their house. Come on. You know, it was so much going on. And, you know, you knew that was a time. And I'm really, really talking to some friends of mine now about this, because that was a time where the preacher had a specialty. You knew what his thing was that he could do. You know, you knew the guy that could talk about evangelism, that could talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit, that could come in and talk about grace, and you knew to come in and dissect the blood of Jesus. And we've all kind of become general surgeons because don't nobody really interact and fellowship the way that we used to do. You knew the church that was coming that had the big choir that could sing. Right. Yep. You, everybody thought of that. But the problem is that the unbeliever doesn't know. They don't remember the yesteryear. They don't remember. And if church is in the, because God understands that in Texas, we have one season high. But if you go to other parts of the country, that's different seasons and different flows. And if the church is in winter, what does that still say about your evangelism? Mm. Who are we saving to develop this mindset? Because Jesus says, I didn't make it up. Jesus says that I need you to be my witnesses. I need you to go out and witness and win them to me. But not only do you need to be my witness, you need to understand what being a witness is. Because you can't, your witness, the same word witness is what we use in our court systems, where they go in and you call a witness to tell the story. And that's really what evangelism is you telling your story. I was explaining to my church the other week, and I was stepped on a few toes, and they probably got mad, but don't nobody want to tell me yet. They'll tell me later on after I get out of the series. I shouldn't have said it, but I meant it. Is that some of us have been saved for so long, we act like we forgot what sinning was like. So you try to speak to unbelievers as if you've always been there where you at today. It took time for you to get to where you are. It took maturity. It took living. It took life for you to realize that being a fool wasn't going to get you far in life. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Most of us, you know, we've matured past being a fool. But all of us got a little bit of it in you. Y'all don't want to talk with me tonight. Yeah. You know, but it affects your witness, because you can't clean a fish if you're not willing to smell like salt water. You can't. What are you fishing with? What are you going to be God's witness with? And God always uses what you already got. God, when I was out walking and got Andrew, and he told Peter, Peter was out working. He was out fishing. He was out catching fish. Not what we do. We go, if we catch something, it's fine. If not, it's fine. We just went out there to relax, get out the house. No, Peter went to work. And the problem is that we act as if we are Peter, but we're not in, when it comes to fishing, but what we are Peter when it comes to saving people. And what Jesus explained to me through Peter is you got to use what you got to get what God wants you to get.
Right.
God don't want you to develop new skills to go save somebody. Use who you are. Baby, I used to be you. Baby, I've done what you've done. I've been where you are. I've been crazy. I've been messed up. I thought I knew it all. I'm old enough now to realize I know more now. I told my mama this for Mother's Day. I know more now than I did when I knew it all. And it hit me. I used to think I knew everything. But the more I learn, the more I learn, I find out that I ain't know much. You read two or three books, you go two or three places, you don't know everything. You don't know everybody. You don't see everything. It's somebody out there that know way more than you do about everything that you think you know some about. But how can you win people to Christ if we don't understand that you're not timed out by age? You're not timed out by experience. You're not timed out because you've put in time for the church. You're not timed out because I ain't got to go get nobody because I paid my money. But that ain't what Jesus says. No. Jesus didn't say if you put enough money in or you put enough time in, you don't have to go win souls for the kingdom. That's what we're here for. I'm just a nobody. See, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Get with me, somebody. When I'm trying to go get somebody, I'm not trying to go seek people that already got. See, the problem with the church is that we have invitation, but we got a dry pool. The baptism pool is dry, but the chair stay full because we keep trying to refeed those adults that should get off of the that should have matured past the phase that they're on because they should be going out and getting other people. Am I making sense? You got a guest room that somebody's living in. They've been there past they time. It's sooner or later. I should go get you ready. But what I'm getting you ready for is for you to go get somebody else. Right. Yes. I can't keep training and teaching you every time you mess up. Come on, y'all. Y'all know everybody knows somebody that you went and got them. They love you. They love on you. Right. And then now you mad you gave them your number.
Right.
They call for everything. It's everything. It's, I don't know if I can go back to the church. Now, I've been in ministry all my life. I told you, all I know is church. So it's hard for me because I've been given some of the weirdest answers of why people left churches. You let somebody with nothing to say have a voice in your life. They run you from the church. And now you lost and they still at the church. I've never understood people that stay at churches that are unhappy with the church, but they stay at the church to run people that like the church away from the church. And we coddle them.
Come on.
I got my own spot. But what I'm saying is that what Jesus calls them was sheep.
Right.
Yes.
That's an amazing thing that he calls them sheep. He tells us to be witnesses, but he calls the followers, he calls them sheep. And the thing about sheep is that sheep don't fight.
Right.
Sheep don't fight. Sheep don't bite. Sheep don't. They don't keep a bunch of ruckus. They don't. But they dumb. So they do little stuff. Yeah. But if they fighting the shepherd, that ain't no.
Yeah, that's not getting
it. I tell pastors all the time. Now I was executive pastor at a church where I really have many fights. I was following a guy that he didn't have a fighting church. So it wasn't a lot of that at the church. Now, and I learned a lot because I've always been one that sits back and looks at and reexamines where I am to better me.
Yeah.
I never focus on other people. I've never really focused on other people because they change too much.
Yeah.
As soon as I think that you should be doing this, you're doing something completely different. It's like a college student that keep changing their major. I just don't know. You just don't know what you should do. So I focus on me and try to figure out how can I be the best me I can be. And I realize something, that everybody that come to church is not a sheep.
Right.
I learned that. That's some goats. That's some wolves. Come on, y'all. They come. And I tell pastors all the time, you can tell a sheep from a wolf because a sheep don't bite. So if they bite you, that ain't a sheep. Sheep are herd animals. They stay together. So, and the only fighting mechanism the sheep has is his mouth to buy. And it gets with other ones so they can make a loud enough noise
to warn the shepherd that somebody that shouldn't be here is in the midst. So when he come in, he says, my sheep know my voice. Because I spend time with them. So when sheep would run up against something that was messed up, they would take the oil, the anointment, to rub it on the sheep's head. Because that's why he says, he anoints my head with oil. Because they would injure themselves because they were dumb animals. But you can't rub something oil on something that you scared finna bite you. You don't. But we want to pull them that are fighting us close to us and act as if they're sheep. But you can't, because, and the problem is with the church today, that we've developed a system that has operated that has made us look inward when God's mission was to make us look outward.
Right.
And we've developed to tell our witness, but we tell it to each other. Uh-huh. We've developed testimonial services to tell our story. But the unsaved person is unwelcomed to hear it. And we've just become consistent in telling our story over and over. The problem. Jesus says, be my witness. And anybody know anything about going to court? I'm not asking you to tell me why you were there. Don't tell me why you were at court. But anybody understands a little bit about, and when you're on the witness stand, they make sure that you tell your story.
Right.
Yes.
You can't tell what somebody else told you. That they call that hearsay. Don't tell me what somebody told you. But what do you know? See, and the problem is that we want to tell people somebody else's story. You know, you shouldn't be doing this. Well, tell me how you know I shouldn't. Well, the problem is that you mad at them because you see you in them. And what you really want to tell them is, baby, I've been where you are. And that road is going to end in destruction if you don't come. See, yeah. Okay, y'all don't want to get with me. Deliverance comes in three ways. You get delivered in three manners. You either get delivered because of death. You sick unto death.
Yeah.
And God, there's no sickness in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So I tell people all the time, you know, somebody died from a disease, that was God's eternal healing. They're not sick no more, and they not hurt no more. And I said at a funeral a month ago, and they looked at me like I was crazy, you know, because somebody, oh my dad, bring him back. I said, baby, if he could, he wouldn't. He gone to the land of no more.
Yeah.
If he could come back, why would he leave heaven to come back and hurt here? Now we can spiritualize, but naturally, why would he want to come back? To not being able to sleep and rest. So that's the first thing, that deliverance. Thank you so much. That's the first way of deliverance. Second way is immediate. You get delivered out of stuff immediately. You know, people tell you, I used to do this. I don't have a taste for it no more. But most of us, is gradual. We got delivered because, you know, life happened.
Yeah.
Stuff happened. You got smarter. You realize you couldn't do all of that stuff. Well, if I was at my church, I'd say something. You can't do that and take that medicine at the same time. It just don't work out. But you got to be able to tell your story. People are dying because of untold stories. And understand this, that for every person that you don't evangelize to, you play a part in them ending up in hell. For every person, when God tells you to tell them your story.
Right.
You ever been in the store? I was in the store the other day, and God told me to witness to this lady. She was in line in front of me. I didn't know this lady from Adam. She was just in the store, and I was sitting there. I had my kids with me. They was being kids, y'all. And I was trying to figure out, should I strike or fuss?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, y'all. It was a balancing act.
Now, you're right.
I said stop.
You're nice.
Yeah, I was, you know, you're trying to whisper because you're in the store. People know who you are.
They're looking.
Yeah, and I was trying not to do that. And God said, tell about me.
Hmm.
I said, not right now. These kids acting up. I don't feel like doing all that. God, I'm, you know, let me pay for my stuff and get out of here. She was, and the lady took forever. ever to get out the line. The worst thing in the world. I told God no and hoping she was just going to go on and go. She just looking for stuff. And then she got some coupons. And I'm sitting there.
This wasn't happening.
And I looked. And my daughter hands me a witness card that I had printed from the church. That this was in my pocket. I said, look at you. I said, ma'am, do you have a church home that you're going to? Are you? She said, no, I'm looking for a church. I said, well, we're down the street. We just moved to this location. We're new in the area. I would love to have you. I said, God told me to ask you to come to the church. She said, will you pray with me? I said, sure. Stopped. I prayed for her. Didn't know what I was praying about. Didn't know. I just prayed, God, touch her heart. Let her be committed to show up, to hear your word, where it's preached with clarity and conviction, that she can show up with her family and she sees something that she's looking for. And God give her peace. That was the last thing I said. And I had never met this lady a day in my life. I said, and God give her peace. Y'all know why I prayed that? Because my kids was bothering me and I wanted some peace in my life. So I prayed for peace in her life that it might overflow. And soon as I said, and God give her peace in Jesus' name, amen, I opened my eyes and her eyes were full of tears. She said, I hadn't been able to sleep, Pastor. It's just been a lot going on. And I receive it. I receive that I'm going to have peace tonight. Just tell your story.
Yeah.
Just tell your story. You know, we feel like, you know, we too old, we too tired, we done too much, life is crazy, people crazy. That was the time you knew everybody in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I don't know people live two doors down from me.
Right.
I grew up in a town where my grandfather would leave his door unlocked at night.
No. Yeah,
I'm not getting out of my car without the garage down.
As fast as you can, right?
But how can you witness to people you don't know? I was standing outside watering my grass the other day, and the guy that literally lives next door to me told me, he said, Pastor, I'm going to come by your church. I said, man, you don't have to lie to me. You know, don't have to start the conversation with a good lie. Just tell me you good to see me. He said, nah, I'm going to come. I said, okay. So then he called me the next day. And he asked me to pray because his wife was going through some stuff with her child's father, and I was talking to him, and I said, well, what church do you attend? He told me, church he attends. I said, well, have your pastor pray for you. Yeah, my pastor kind of talked too much. I don't need my stuff all around the church. I ain't trying to. But y'all, that's his witness. You weaken your witness when you tell somebody else's story.
Yeah.
Jesus says, I'm back. Y'all thought I left the text. No. Jesus says, be my witness. Tell your story.
Yeah.
In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, into the end, the other parts of earth. Tell it everywhere. Anytime you can, tell it. I tell my church, because my church has a mixed age group, and I got from young to old, and I tell them all the time, treat God like you treated your new boyfriend. Show him off. Y'all don't want to act like. Y'all don't want to. Yeah, everybody know what it's like when you got somebody new you want to tell them.
Yeah.
Tell it. Wait till you meet them. You're going to really love them. Mm-hmm. Hey, I ain't got nothing on the last one. That last one was crazy. But this one, that's how you got to do with Jesus. Because they need to understand. Maybe I done been through some stuff before I found him. That's why we sing them songs. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. You don't appreciate God till you feel like he left you. Then you holler, I need thee.
Yeah.
You don't say that when you feel like he right there. That don't carry it away. That's why some of these songs fill you up in your spirit. He says, and you will receive power when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit comes on you.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 2, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why some songs that just sit in your spirit some Sundays and you just cry. Because it's something on the inside of you that ties to that. Because, yeah, you didn't have some stuff. And you know that, you know about grace, and you know that God's grace and grace kept me in grace. But it's something when you've been through some stuff and you know God could have cut you off and you found out that it wasn't just good. That grace was amazing.
Yes, it was.
Come on, somebody. Because you didn't appreciate it when you was lost. But now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Just come on, somebody. You've been in some stuff long enough where you think, hey, man, this is not going to work out the way I planned it. Because I really thought that I was doing okay. But I'm really crazy. I've been hoodwinked by some stuff. Anybody felt like the devil tried to sell you a bag of goods before? That you thought it was God talking to you, but it was really the devil in your ear? The devil will send you exactly what you wanted, but it ain't what God intended for you. It hurts your witness. I tell people, I always run into millennials, and I pastor some of them, and that's part of the problem, because I am one, but I pastor them, and I explain to them, God ain't going to send you nobody that's going to keep you from church. That's the devil. No, God don't want you to go to brunch. He wants you to come to church. But it don't hurt, because my witness is I'm at church. So when they hit me, what hurts your witness? If you talk against your own witness while trying to witness.
All right.
If you telling people why your church ain't that, but then tell them they need to be at church in the same conversation, that ain't going to really. Who wants to do? You complaining about your job by telling somebody else they need one. Well, why would I want that in my life? So he says, be my witnesses. The question I'm going to leave you with, how much time I got? Because I don't want to go over my time. I want to be on time for what I'm supposed to do.
Just whatever you feel like.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. I'm Baptist at heart. So I'd be close to a close for 30 minutes. My question that I want to ask is, how good is your witness? How good? Jesus says, be a witness. But what's your credibility like on the stand? Does your life emulate what you're telling people about it? We quote these cliches, but do we really believe that God is better than all right? When we say God is good all the time, what about your life dictates that before you even have a conversation with me? If every moment of your life is tired and depressed and stressed out about the next day or the next month, how can you tell me about a God that owned cattle on 1,000 hills? I tell people, you know, I'm not big on prosperity gospel because I feel like that's one side of the coin. That's two sides to everything.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in life long enough to know that I know God. Even Jesus says that he's the good shepherd, which meant that there were some bad ones out there. So how can I tell you that life, God just wants you to have? But I do know that God don't want you broke. How you know? Because if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, why wouldn't he? He owns so many cattle, they stop counting cattle and start counting the hills.
Oh, yeah.
And you talking about God wants you to be, God is an awesome God. And you just told me you need to borrow $5 for lunch. It's not working out for me. Your witness is shot. But when you tell them the whole story, you set clear expectations to say, yeah, I love God with all of my heart, all my soul, all my being. And every day ain't sunshiny. But I realize that the rain keep the grass growing. Come on, somebody. I've been in this thing long enough. So when you tell your witness, don't keep it just the one side of the story. Tell them the whole thing. Tell them God's going to make a way somehow. So what that's what the season says used to tell me. He's going to make a way somehow. What I realized after I got a little older was what they were telling me. I don't know how he's going to do it, baby. But keep holding on because he's going to do it. But that's how you got to tell your story. Don't just tell them they wrong. Tell them how to get right. Don't nobody that's down need you to tell me I'm down. Tell me how to get up. Tell me your witness in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is home. It's where you at. It's the people that know you. That's the hardest place to tell it.
Because
they know you. They know the good and the bad. They know. Come on, y'all. They know the shouting and the cussing. They know everything about you. They know you. And it's hard to talk to. It's hard to witness to people that already know part of your story.
Yeah.
I started my church in January. In January, I started a church. And the first people to join my church were relatives of mine. I didn't want them. Ain't telling y'all. Nothing I ain't told them. I didn't want them. I didn't want them because they knew too much.
Yeah.
I couldn't fake it with them. Uh-huh. No, they knew me when I was little. They grew up with me. These was cousins and aunties and stuff.
Yeah.
Y'all don't need to come here. Because see, y'all going to be trying to tell other people. I spent 3 months to get them to call me pastor.
No.
They was calling me nicknames from growing up.
Yeah, that's what they remember.
It was easier.
Yeah.
But what I did was every Sunday I got up and told my story.
Uh-huh.
And sooner or later, the me that they thought they knew, they realized they didn't know this me. Because one of them came to me and said, there's something about you that's different.
Yeah.
I can't call you that because I don't see him. No, because he was quick-tongued, and he would tell you what he thought. He said, I seen you've matured. I see why God sent me here, because I needed to see this change in you, because I need to change.
Right.
That sometimes your story, telling your story, is literally you just keep being you.
Right.
And be the best you can be. Don't settle thinking that you know, people are going to talk about you if you... You why you out there? You trying to always, why you, all you talk about is your church. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Nobody talks about the person that talks about stuff that's not beneficial for them. You know, when you did go out, ain't nobody talk about you for going out until you quit.
Right.
Come on, y'all. We knew every little night spot that you could hide away at.
No.
That you even knew the spots you could go. They ain't even know your name. I'm telling you, I got people in my church. I tell them. I know y'all know where every happy hour is, but at least you know when Bible study is.
Right.
I just want you to know the witness. What's your witness? Now, are you out there hurting the credibility of your witness? Because sometimes we just have to be truthful to who we are. And why would you talk about this? Well, I know y'all are in the series talking about faith in Christ, but if you don't get evangelism back, it's going to be us in here, just us. Because we got to get some blood in here. And I ain't talking just young, just blood in here, because that's the design of Christ. But they tell you in corporate America, it work if you work it. If you follow Christ's model, that's some stuff that automatically should start kicking in. My church knows it. I'm upset when we have welcome and nobody stands up. If there's no first-time guests in the room, we failed that week. I don't need a club.
Yeah.
I quit going to clubs. I quit going before I had to quit going. I wasn't all the way saved then. I quit going because I got allergies and I couldn't be in there with all that smoke.
Right.
So I quit going to the club. That's why I quit going. I don't know why everybody else quit going. I quit going because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And I had to go to work the next day. I can't go to work coughing and wheezing. So I don't want to come to church and then just be the same us in here. So we need to get some new blood. I need some new people to look at. Because
right.
I need some new people to train. Because when I take a break, I need somebody to come take my spot. I need to develop people.
Right.
But ain't nobody going to sit under you if you got a bad witness.
True.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I don't even care when people bring up my past. I still shout about some of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I have people that bring stuff up to me. I'm like, you know, I forgot I did that.
Hmm.
Well, look at God. I wouldn't even know that fool if I met him again. Because I wasn't crazy. I was real crazy. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, I would. Because see, I didn't do anything halfway. So when I just came to church because I was taught that Christians go to church.
Yeah.
So I went. Mm-hmm. I was crazy, but I was in church.
Mm-hmm.
And they let me come crazy. Until I decided not to be crazy no more. So...
Being crazy
got old. It did. Well, it wasn't lucrative, and I like to make some money.
Yeah.
And when people don't call you because they think you crazy, you try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, your witness was hurt, and you know your witness hurt when your record beats you to the groom.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says I'm through. Mm-hmm. The Bible says your gift will make room for you, but your character will get you put out though.
Oh yes.
Bad character gets you put out some rooms that you. You thought you should have been in it.
Yeah.
He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally saying, you got to get out and tell your story. Don't stay in Jerusalem. If all of Jerusalem saved, if all your friends saved, you're a bad witness. We ain't trying to perfect each other. I can't get you more saved. Y'all all in here saved. Anybody in here unsaved? That's what I thought. We all in here saved. So why are we not focusing on developing those that are around us that we know need Jesus? And this is how I'm through. And this is how I fight for them. I don't want you to go to hell, baby.
Right.
Mm-hmm. An old preacher told me this. He said this to me. He said, if going to church is right, then not going is wrong. It's just that simple.
Right.
If going to church is right, then not going, it's just wrong. And I need you to get right. Old coaching mother told me, get right or get left. You got to get something. Because we can't keep doing it the way we've been doing it. Because the church is dying. Numerically, not this one. Worldwide. Statistically, the church is dying. It's dying. When you don't get new blood in and the old blood is leaving, the church is dying. Nobody's picking up slack from somebody else that's gone on, or you made them mad and ran them. I tell people in my church, first new members class I had in my church, anybody you run off, pay the money they was paying. If you ain't ready to pay their money, don't run nobody off. Because I ain't changing no budget because you got mad at somebody. Because I can preach hell out of anybody as long as they in here. Now, if you ran them out, somebody need to fill that spot.
Right.
Because we got a budget to keep and a God to glorify. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions, comments, concerns? I'm through.